Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends. Today we're going to talk about the second chapter of the book of Colossians. We want to do this because it's one of the most misunderstood chapters in all of the Bible. So please, if you will, turn with me to Colossians, the second chapter. We're going to start reading in verse 4, and we'll read all the way through verse 22. Now, to give you a little bit of background, Paul was talking to Gentiles because the brethren at Colossae were Gentiles, but he was warning them against two things: about what the Gentiles taught in terms of traditions of men as opposed to the traditions of God, and he was warning them against the traditions of men that the Jews were trying to introduce into the church as opposed to the traditions of God. So if you keep in mind the fact that Paul was addressing those two things, the traditions of men as introduced by Jews and Gentiles, as opposed to following the traditions of God, then you'll understand the second chapter of the book of Colossians. So let's start reading. Paul says here, "I'm writing this so that no man misleads you." Notice how he puts an emphasis on that. "So that no man misleads you with enticing words. I am with you in spirit," so he wasn't actually there with them, but he was there in spirit, "rejoicing at the firmness of your faith in Christ." So you see, this is this opposition here, this tension, is that some people were trying to lead them, but actually they were misleading them with enticing words, because they were leading them away from worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And that is through Yeshua the Messiah. He is the Spirit of truth. And so he says, "I'm rejoicing at the firmness of your faith in Christ," as opposed to the fact that some have been misled through enticing words. Paul goes on to say, "As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to walk in him, being rooted and established in the faith, built up in him, as you have been taught." So notice this, they had been taught about salvation through Yeshua the Messiah. And then he cautions them again, saying, "Beware lest any man spoil you," through how? He gives a couple of examples here. "Through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Again, that tension there, that opposition. Do you get spoiled through the traditions of men, this vain philosophy? Or do you allow yourself to be rooted and grounded in Christ? That's the tension, that's the question. And Paul obviously extols Christ by saying, "For in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, and you are complete in him. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision performed without hands, by the cutting off of the corrupt nature in the circumcision performed by Christ." So this was another example, but this time, this is an example of the Jews. The first one, through this vain philosophy and the traditions of men and rudiments of the world, that was something that Gentile believers taught. But now here's something that the Jewish believers, or some who weren't even believers, that were trying to lead believers astray, what they were teaching is that true Christians still needed to be circumcised physically on the eighth day, or if you came into the church as an adult, whenever it was, you had to be circumcised. But Paul is saying, no, physical circumcision is not what's important. That tradition is not important. Yeah, it was important under the old covenant, but under the new covenant, that's not important. What is important is that you are circumcised by cutting off the corrupt nature that you have, your carnal, hostile nature. That has to be cut off. He says, when you were buried with him in baptism, that's how you accomplish the new covenant circumcision, because you died. So when you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the operation of God. So it's not about an operation of physical circumcision. This is an operation of spiritual circumcision that is pictured by the tradition of baptism. But this tradition of baptism points us to salvation through Yeshua the Messiah, whereas the circumcision of the flesh did not point people toward salvation through Yeshua the Messiah. So that was just a tradition of man, where the tradition of baptism, that's a tradition of God. That's a tradition that the body of Christ should teach and that the disciples should follow. And so he goes on to say in verse 16, therefore, let no man, see again, he's talking about men here. In verse 4 he said, let no man mislead you. Then in verse 8 he said, beware lest any man spoil you. And now he's saying, therefore let no man judge you. So these are all of the people that are outside of the body of Christ, whether they be Jew or Gentile, trying to tell you how you should worship God. Because if they're telling you how you should worship God, and it's not a way that leads you to salvation through Yeshua the Messiah, then that is just a tradition of men. It's not a tradition that God has inspired for us to follow. So he says here in verse 16, therefore let no man judge you in respect to whatever you eat or drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath. These things are just a shadow of things to come. So whatever you eat, whatever you drink, if you're observing a holy day, a new moon, or a Sabbath, understand that the way they're trying to get you to observe these things and follow these things is just a shadow of things to come. It's not the real thing. They're not really pointing you to Christ. What you have to do is you have to allow the body of Christ to judge you in how you should eat and drink, and how you should observe the holy days or the new moons or the Sabbath. That's what you have to do, is you have to allow the body of Christ to teach you these things, not other people. So let's read that part again, keeping in mind that what Paul has been saying all throughout the second chapter is that there are people who would like to lead you away from the faith in Christ. There are people that would like to spoil you through vain philosophy and their traditions. There are people who insist that you have to be circumcised in the flesh. All of that stuff is nonsense. As it said in verse 14, that all of that stuff has been blotted out. All of it has been nailed to the cross. That old covenant way of relating to God, or for the Gentiles, any kind of vain philosophy in terms of trying to worship God, all of that stuff has been done away with. We don't need to follow that. So don't let any unconverted people teach you how to worship God. And then when it comes to whatever you eat or you drink, in observance of the holy days, the new moons, or the Sabbath, don't let unconverted people judge you. What you have to do is you have to let the body of Christ judge you. That's what it's saying in verse 17, is let the body of Christ judge you. And that's what he's been saying in all of the previous examples in Colossians, this second chapter here. Now he continues again in verse 18. Let no man rob you of your reward by his delight in the worship of angels, boasting about what he has not even seen. Such a person is puffed up without cause by his own carnal mind. Now he goes back again to the other side, this tension here. He says, instead, what we need to do is we need to hold on to the head of the body, from which all the body is nourished and held together by its joints and ligaments, growing with a growth that comes from God. See, we need to hold on to Christ and the teachings that we receive from the body of Christ, because if Christ is the head of the body, he's going to be leading the body properly. And the Word of God has been entrusted to faithful people who are inspired by the Word of God to understand the Word of God and to teach the Word of God. That's what the body of Christ, the church, is there for. And so in verse 20, it says, Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ to the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to various ordinances like touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men? These were more the things, for instance, that the Gentiles talked about, is don't touch this, don't taste that, don't handle that, you can't do all of that kind of stuff. That was asceticism, and that was something that was taught by Gentiles. So whether there are traditions taught by Jews, like circumcision, or even certain things about the Passover, like you have to still kill a lamb and you still have to put the blood on the doorpost, or any of those kind of things, whether it's the traditions of Jews or whether it's the traditions of Gentiles, like asceticism, if these traditions do not lead you to salvation through Yeshua the Messiah, then don't follow them. What you have to do is you have to follow what the body of Christ teaches you, because the body of Christ is joined to the head of the body, which is Christ, and Christ leads us through the power of the Holy Spirit into all truth. And so we need to follow the truths of God, and these truths of God will definitely lead us to salvation through Yeshua the Messiah. And as we're going to cover in our next series of programs where we talk about the Holy Days, we're going to show you how the Holy Days picture God's seven-step plan of salvation through Yeshua the Messiah. Not the Old Covenant traditions, but the New Covenant traditions. Like, for instance, taking of unleavened bread and drinking of wine. That's what Yeshua did on Passover, the last Passover that he had. And he said that these traditions, these symbols that I'm giving you, these are about the new covenant. And we're going to read about that as we cover the Holy Days in our next series of programs. I want to read just briefly one more scripture here, and this is in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, because you're going to notice the same type of terminology that Paul is using, but now he's talking about the Gentiles in Ephesus. He says here in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, starting in verse 7, to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He gifted some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God ordained this until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a full-grown person, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. That way, we're no longer going to be like little children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine and by people's trickery and by clever strategies that would lead us astray. So you see here again that same tension. We should be taught by the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers that are set in the church, gifted by God for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, so that we're no longer tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by these clever strategies of people, these traditions of men that would lead us astray. So instead, we have to speak the truth in love. And when we do that, we'll grow up completely into the one who is the head of the body, and that is into Christ. Well, thank you, my friends, for joining me in this program. I hope you'll come back for the next program, and may God be in you.